We have a Bible. You can go to the book of Deuteronomy tonight. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we're going to the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. And Moses wanted to rehearse the word of God to the children of Israel. He had been called by God, and what was he, 80? Right? He wasn't 8. He wasn't 21. He wasn't 50. He was how old? 80, right? Yeah, when he came back, when they went to Egypt. Right? Mm-hmm. To get the people out, right? You ever seen an 80-year-old man? I didn't say approaching. You're not 80 yet. Now think about that. You know, because you just read and you just don't think. He's 80. What do you look like when you're 80? How do you walk? I mean, are you in the best? Are you like 21 or 22 when you're big and strong and eat alphabet soup? All right. Let me ask you this. How many here would be intimidated by an 80-year-old man? One 80-year-old man against a whole country, a whole nation, with chariots and swords and spears, right? It was a big deal. And he faithfully served those people, and he got them out. Because you and God make a what? A majority, that's why. See, he had a relationship with God. In verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose what?
Life.
The reason why he wanted you to choose life, the result being that both thou and thy seed, thy children, may what? May live. That's God's heart. God had his word shared and taught. He set it before the people. And then Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what's the next word?
Choose.
You see? God always makes his word available. He presents his word. This is many thousands of years ago. But the key has not changed. God is still calling. God is still presenting his word. He's making it available. And when God makes his word available, he not only made the good available, I set before you what? Life and what? See how it's contrast with the opposite? He talked about life. This is what happens if you obey the word. These are the results and the benefits. And also this is what? Not so good, death. I set before you blessing, say it in it, and what's next? They're opposites, right? So when God presented his word, he presented not only the benefit of his word, but he also presented the consequences of his word. And he did this for the benefit of the people, so the people could see that if you would hear his word, obey and do his word, you can expect life. You can expect blessings. But if you would hear his word and simply walk out and just forget what you heard, then it's not going to do you any good. Because the key word in this verse is the word choose. choose, right? Who does that depend on? You. God did his part, right? God presented the word. He gave life and death. He gave blessing and cursing. He put it before the people. And then he says to the people, now you need to make a choice. That's what's lacking in Christianity today. People don't want to get involved with God. They'll come and they'll listen to God. They'll read about God. They'll even be happy just to sit and hear about God. But when you have to choose God, that's when it gets a little icky. Remember the story I told you about the chicken and the pig? And they walked by the orphanage, and they saw the poor children there, and they were scrawny, and they were hungry, and they were all bones sucked in. And the chicken looked over to the pig and said, you know, we ought to do something for these kids. And the pig said, well, what do you suggest we do? We're just a chicken and a pig. The chicken said, well, let's make them breakfast. He said, well, that's a good idea. We could feed these kids. He said, what do you want to feed them? He said, we'll feed them ham and eggs. And the pig starts sweating. And the chicken said, what's the matter with you? The pig said, well, that's easy for you. All you got to do is lay a couple eggs. But for me, I really got to get involved. And that's what people don't want to do. People don't want to get involved. People don't want any responsibility or accountability to God. They're willing to go this far. But you don't have a relationship going that far. Right? When you have a father, an earthly father, you have a relationship with that man. You can go to him. You can talk to him. He can hold you. He can love you. He can explain things to you. That's a relationship. Well, God is supposed to be our father. God wants a relationship with us. Now listen, how silly is this? God talked to me last night. If somebody would stand up and say that in front of a group of people, what would people do? Either they would laugh inside or what? Mock them out loud, right? Wouldn't they? Okay, but when you say, I was talking to my daddy last night, or I was talking with my father last night, does anybody think that's funny? Does anybody think that's strange? Why is that? Because that's what you expect your father to do. As a matter of fact, you would think it'd be strange if someone said to you, you know, I haven't talked to my father in about 2-3 years. Then you would think, oh man, they're having a fight or something, or there must be a, right? You would think that to be strange. Now, God is called our Father. In an earthly relationship, you would expect to have conversation with your earthly father, right? And talk to him, because that's what you do. But we turn around out of the same mouth and we say, God is our Father. And then when we say we talk to God or God talks to me, people look at us like we're goofy. Why is that? That shouldn't be. You see, that's the exception in the world. It shouldn't be the exception. That should be the normal. God loves us. How many times have you heard somebody say, God loves you? Well, that's nebulous. What does that mean, God loves you? What does it mean to be loved by God? Well, when your earthly father loves you, what's he do for you? He provides for you. He counsels with you, communicates. He instructs. He watches over you. He protects you. Well, see, that's what it is to be loved by God. God does the same thing. Joshua 24:15 made the same word. It's the same decision. Joshua says, choose ye this day whom you shall what? Again, he's telling the people to what? Choose. He's inviting the people to get involved. He's not saying just listen and hear and feel good. He's telling the people, choose you this day who you shall serve. 24:15. And that's what people don't want to do. They don't want to make any choices today. And sometimes people think, if I don't make a choice, it's safe. But you don't get anywhere by not making choices. God didn't send Jesus Christ, so you couldn't make a choice. Let's look at the book of James towards the end of the Bible, chapter 1. It's 4:45. According to that clock there. So we're still early. Sandy said, uh-oh. Listen, it's 4:45 somewhere in the world, right? then we'll put a battery in it later. See, Jenny don't sit there anymore because it fell down one time and Ryan almost whacked her on the head right behind the chair. And I thought I had the chair positioned just right. But she must have pushed it forward when she came in. James chapter 1. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Lay apart. You know what it means to lay apart? Put it off. Here, put it to the side. That's a decision you make. And then it says what? Receive. Right, James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your what? How are we to receive the word? With meekness. You know what it is to be meek? You don't argue with God. You don't argue with his word. You don't say, well, I think this or I think that. You receive it how? With meekness. When it rains, the earth receives the rain with meekness. The earth doesn't say, I don't want your rain. And get real. If it did that, what happens? Nothing grows, right? But when it rains, you can see the earth, it's cracked. It opens its mouth. It's ready to receive. We're to receive the word with what? That's one of the great keys in having a relationship with God. We have to be willing to receive the word of God. And God will do his part to get his word to us. Now look at verse 23 of James 1. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a what?
Doer.
He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If anybody be a hearer of the word and not a what? You got to be a hearer of the word, right? You're supposed to receive the word with meekness, correct? That's good. You have to first get to the place where you can hear the word. And when I mean the word, I mean God's word. Not my word, not my opinion, but what God says. But if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a man that looks in the mirror and you see, but then you go away and you forget what you saw. In other words, when you hear the word of God, and I teach you, for instance, you shouldn't hold a grudge. Does anybody in here think the Bible teaches to hold a grudge? The Bible teaches that you forgive, right? Peter, you know, figured, oh, I'll get around it. How many times do I have to forgive? 70? And what did the Lord say? 7 times 70, right? In other words, you don't stop forgiving. So if you hear the word, if you're a hearer of the word, you forgive. You don't hold a grudge, right? You hear that. And not a doer, you're like a man that goes, looks in the mirror, goes away, and he forgets what he saw. So this is what it is. You're supposed to forgive people. Are you listening to me? Do you have anybody in your life that you haven't forgiven? Don't answer that question. But if you do, then you need to get on top of it and forgive them. That's the teaching of the Bible. Now, if you hear that, fellowship's over. You get up. You have a cookie, you drink some iced tea, and you go out the door, and as you're going out the door, you're talking to the person you came in with, and you say, you know, such and such and such and such, and I don't like the way they do that, and I'll never trust them, and I'll never forgive that person. What did you just do? You are a hearer of the word, but you're not a what?
Doer.
You're not a doer. You heard the right thing, you know what you should do. You looked in the mirror, okay, I see it, no problem. And you turn around and you say, I forgot what I saw. You know what you should do. You walk out and you don't what? You don't do it. Is it going to benefit you? Is that good to do? If you know that adultery is wrong and you hear that, okay, and you walk out and you commit adultery on your spouse, what good does that teaching do you? No good, right? No good. Because we're supposed to what? Be doers of what? The word. Now look at verse 22. Be doers of the word. Be a doer of the word. And not hearers only, because when you are not a doer of the word and you just hear the word, it says that you deceive who? Me? Your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your pet. It's got to be the pet, right? Your labradoodle. No, you deceive who? You. It's me, O Lord. You're tricking yourself. You're deceiving yourself. If you hear the Bible where it says forgive, and you got unforgiveness in your heart for people, you're deceiving yourself. You're hurting yourself. See? If you have anger in your heart, and you haven't buried it, and you are holding on to it, you're deceiving yourself. If you have jealousy in your heart, and you keep holding on to it, you're deceiving yourself. You know how long the Bible says you can hold on to anger, jealousy, bitterness? That's it. That's it. If you got to hold on to it, God says, look, it's no good. But if you got to hold on to it and you want a time, because I know the way you guys are, it's 24 hours. That's what he said. See where it says deceiving your own self? The word deceiving in the Greek is paralogogitsomai. Paralogogitsomai. It's a big, long word, but this is what it means. To cheat by false reckoning. To deceive by false reasoning. You deceive yourself by false reasoning. You know what false reasoning is? I have a right to feel angry at this person. I have a right not to forgive this person. I have a right to be bitter. That's false reasoning. And you talk to yourself, and then you listen to yourself, and then you convince yourself of your logic, which is illogic, and then you know what you do? You cheat yourself. You deceive yourself. See? God not only wants us to hear his word, God wants us to apply his word. To apply his word. See, in a marriage, if you do not apply the principle of forgiveness in a marriage, your marriage will go nowhere. That's why a lot of marriages end up in divorce, a lot of marriages end up in affairs, this sort of thing, because people don't forgive one another. You know what it is to forgive one another? Right? It means this. When you have a little whatever in marriage, you don't bring up what happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last week, last year. You did this, you did this. I remember the time you did. Well, what is that? You haven't forgiven people. And when you haven't forgiven someone, you draw into the pile of your unforgiveness. You know, it's like dirty laundry. How do I think of these things? It's like grim and evil. You know who Grim and Evil is? There's these two monsters and they fight each other, right? One of the weapons that you can choose is a thing called dirty laundry. This basket of dirty laundry. And you put it into this catapult, right? And then this little thing comes down and you click the button when it's in the red and it pushes it all the way over and it hits the other monster. And if it lands on them, there's a bunch of seagulls that come around and pick at them. I know, my mind, it's dangerous. But that's what you do. You have a big basket of stuff over here. Remember the time you did this? Remember the time you did this? And you did this? And then you're just throwing this dirty laundry at person. You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. As a matter of fact, and when you're doing that, you know what you're doing? You're sinning. Right? And you're hurting yourself. It's not good. If you're going to be honest with God, then be honest with God. If you need help, tell God, I need a little help and I'm working on it. But at least work on it. But when it says forgive, you got to forgive, because God teaches us the right way to walk, and he teaches us the wrong way to walk. See, God didn't say figure it out. You ever hear that? Go figure it out. No. God teaches us in his word, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. Remember we read in Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you what? Life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose what? See? How would you like that, have that in your exams all the time? Here's the questions, here's the answers, choose what? B, life. And you all get A's, right? He tells you, and not only does he tell you, he says, now, this is the right answer, choose B. He says it, choose life. I don't know where I was in school. Leviticus chapter 18, please. Leviticus chapter 18. See, that's the job of a minister. A minister is to set before the people the truth of the Bible, and then he or she is to encourage the people to make a decision, make a choice. Leviticus 18, verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Now look, this is God instructing the people. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye what? Not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye what? Not do. Neither shall you walk in their what? Ordinances. That's clear. God's saying, this is, don't do this, don't do this. Ye, verse 4, shall do what? My judgments. And keep what? Mine ordinances. To do what? Walk therein. I am the Lord. Whose God? Your God. Now that's difficult. God bless you. It's easy to read, but it's difficult to apply. Because the land of Egypt today is where we live. What is your Egypt? Is it your school? Is it your employment? Is it your family? Is it your circle of friends? And do they act a certain way? And when you get in there and you're among that kind of stuff, it's easy to get amalgamated in with that junk. You go to a party and a bunch of people are smoking dope and drinking and getting high and acting like a bunch of idiots. That's Egypt. Now, it's easy to amalgamate yourself in with that because you got your friends. It's peer pressure. You have something special to celebrate. You want to know something? There's always something special to celebrate when you talk to those guys. What do you celebrate? No, it's Tuesday. It's 7 o'clock. They always got something. But you see, that's Egypt. Now, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Now, the decision is yours. Are you going to do this? Or are you going to do what God says? You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. You know what that does to you many times? That puts you in the minority. Sometimes that makes you stand out. Sometimes that makes people look at you and say, well, how come you're not doing this and how come you're not doing that? That's a decision you have to make. You understand? That's your decision. Or you can just melt in, blend in, and be like everybody else. Well, that's hard, though, because I want friends, and I want them to like me, and I want to get along, and I don't want people to think I'm weird. Well, okay. What was harder, that or what Jesus Christ had to go through? Do you think the nails that they put through his hand hurt? Huh? Do you think he screamed with agony when they pierced his flesh and went through him? And the blood started to bleed. Do you think the crown of thorns hurt when they not only put it on his head, but they beat it down on it and he bled? Do you think he liked it when they punched him and they spit on him and they kicked him and they whipped him and they beat him? and you think you got it tough because you're going to stand for God and you're afraid somebody's going to make fun of you? See, when we compare our lives to the life of Jesus Christ, we got the easy job. We got the easy job. Well, let's read a couple more things about walking for God, doing the things that God wants us to do. Galatians chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 5. God not only wants us to know the Bible, but God wants us to live the Bible. He wants us to walk on His Word. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, what? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's your decision. Because the flesh is always calling you. The flesh is always saying, come on over here and let's party. Come on over here and let's do this. Come on over here and let's look at this. Come on over here and let's do this. That's not good. That's not good. That's the lust of the flesh. Come on over here and let's be this way. Come on over here and let's get involved in this. You know the way to combat that? You got to make a decision that you're going to what? Walk in the what? Spirit. You got to walk according to what God wants. That's your choice. And don't turn around and say, the devil made me do it. That doesn't work. You know who made you do it? You did. You did. Devil didn't make you do it. You did, most of the time anyway. Chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. If you're going to go and listen to the Word and you're going to claim that you're a Christian and you're going to, then you know what you should do? Walk that way. Walk that way. That's not a hard thing. Look at Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, next book over, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what?
Walk
in them. He wants us to walk in good works. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15. See then that you what? Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know what it is to walk circumspectly? To walk according to the Bible. To walk. Look at verse 8 of Ephesians 5. This is where everybody comes from. And you want to know what else? Listen up. This is your default setting unless you choose to go otherwise. Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes what?
Darkness.
And that is your default setting. Unless you decide by the choice that you make to do the right thing, you will always go back to your default setting. Every man was born dead in trespasses and what? Everyone. That's your default setting. And just because you get born again, you are still by nature children of wrath. It was natural for you to be that way. For ye were sometimes darkness, Ephesians 5, 8, but now are you light in what? What's the exhortation? Walk as children of what? You have to choose and make a decision to walk as children of light because your default setting is that you were darkness. You were darkness. You never have to teach a child how to disobey. They come from the factory that way. You never have to teach a little child how to get in trouble. They come from the factory that way. That is their default setting. You pick them up, you take them out of the wrapper, and on the back you turn them on, and it lights up the screen and it says trouble, rebellion, all kinds of words, poop. That's written into their program. That's the way they come from the factory. You don't have to teach them this. What do we have to teach them? No, no, don't touch, nice, share. What do they say? Mine, 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 mine. Everything's what? Mine. Why is that? That's their default setting, right? Our default setting is what? Darkness. So if you don't purposely say, this is how you do it. Listen, let me give you the secret. This is what I used to teach my children. Would my daddy be happy? Would my mommy be happy? Would God be happy? Would Jesus be happy with this decision I'm making? Take a second and just ask that question. Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus act that way? Would Jesus respond this way? If you could just take a second and ask that question, you won't try to convince me how looking at pornography is good. You won't try to convince me how getting drunk is good. You won't try to convince me how, you know, going out and destroying things is good. It's not good. Just stop and ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? Because we're supposed to walk in his what? In his steps. In his steps. So just stop and ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? Because if you don't stop and ask that question and purposely push your mind that way, your default setting is darkness. You'll be angry, you'll be mean, you'll be moody, you'll be unforgiving, you'll be all of the things that you came from the factory with. But you see, the Bible says that we should renew our mind. We should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? We have to put on the Word of God. Now, this isn't works to be approved by God, but this is our job that God wants us to live for His glory. Colossians 2:6, you don't have to go there. Just listen. As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, or Christ Jesus, then the exhortation is, so walk ye in Him. Thessalonians teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the scripture says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. The exhortation is we want you to walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. 1 John 2:6 says, he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you say you're going to abide in Christ, then you should walk the way that Jesus Christ walked. How did Christ walk? He forgave. He was loving. He was tender. He was kind. He was compassionate. He reached out. He wasn't selfish. He didn't hold grudges. He wasn't jealous. He wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter. That's how he walked. That, well, you say, that's a big thing to do. I can't do it perfectly. I know that. That's why we have a Savior. But that doesn't excuse you from trying to please God. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. God wants to give you, and he will not withhold anything from you if you endeavor to walk uprightly. And the next verse says, the Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Psalm 86, verse 11, is where we'll close tonight. So what do we see? We saw that God gave his word, and then once God gave his word, God had Moses get the people together and say to the people, now listen, you have the truth, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know that you'll be blessed if you do this, you know what's going to happen if you do this. Now I'm calling heaven and earth to record this day against you, that you would choose the right thing to do. And by the way, the right thing to do is choose what? Life. See? God did his part. Moses did his part. And then you know what God said to Moses? Now there's one thing left. I want the people to what? Do their part. Right? God did his part in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did his part in redeeming mankind, right? Now, whose job is it to receive Jesus Christ and walk in him? It's our job. Does that exclude me? No. Does that exclude anybody? No. Do reverend sin? Do priests sin? Does the Pope sin? Does every man alive sin? What does the Bible say? All dead and trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2. That's what it says. It says in Romans, all have what? Sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Everyone. Everyone. So, do I have to do what I teach? Yes. Do I do it perfectly? Yes. No. No. But when you don't do it, what do? You go to God, you say you're sorry, and you do, and you what? Try again. That's what you do. If at first you don't succeed, you what? You try again. You don't say, give me my bat and ball, I'm going home. This religion stuff or this Christian stuff is too hard for me. No, you try again. And so you mess up five times instead of six next time. And then the time after that's only four, and then the time after that's only three, and then the time after that it gets less and less and less. How'd you learn to tie your shoes? It wasn't easy, but once you learn, and you're thankful for it, right? Walking with God is not easy sometimes, but if you try, God won't let you fall. When you're a mommy and daddy and your little puppy's ready to walk, you're right there, right? And the kid's going to walk, he's going to make its first step, and you say, come on, come on, little guy. Come on, little guy. And when he steps out, you go like smash on the face. Is that what you do as a father, as a good father or a good mother? No, you're right there. And if he goes to fall, what do? Scoop him up and play airplane with him. Good boy. Right? Sure. Well, what do you think God does when we say, you know what? I'm going to do this for you. You don't know how to do it, but you're going to try anyway. And so you step out, and when you go to fall, you know what God's doing? He's up, jumping up and down. He gets a hold of the angels. They're over there playing video games. Stop that. Look at that kid down there. Look what he's doing. Look what my little guy's doing down there. Is he good, huh? Sure. He gets all excited. Bible says all the angels have a party in heaven when one sinner repents. You know that? They have a big party. Fireworks? I don't know about that, but to have a party. Because you're trying to what? To walk. And when the kid takes two or three steps, what happens? He looks like a drunk, right? But what do? You're clapping and you're buying him presents and you're the grass, the best walk, and you got him in the Olympics already, right? That's the way God is. When we endeavor to try to walk. But how about if he sits on the sofa? Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on. And you can't get him off the sofa. Then he needs some more work, right? Come on in. The water's fine. Psalm 86, that's closed there. Here's the psalmist's heart. Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will what? So how many parts are there? God's part and whose part? That's your part, right? You want God to teach you something? He'll teach you something. Now what are you going to do with what you heard? What are you going to do with what you learned with tonight? You got people you need to forgive. You got people you need to get rid of that anger with. You got people you need to get rid. Don't be like someone who saw their face in a mirror and walk out this door and forget what you just saw. Don't be like someone who just heard these things, walk out this door and forget what you just heard. You want to be a what? Doer of the word, not a hearer only, because if you're not a doer and you're just a hearer, who are you hurting? Who are you deceiving? Yourself. You're cheating yourself. And you want to know what the greatness of that is? You're not only cheating yourself here and now. You know what you're cheating yourself? You're cheating yourself for all eternity. You're cheating yourself for all eternity. Someone who just listens and listens and listens and listens and listens and never does it, and they can say whatever they want. They can say, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm a child of God, I'm righteous. Say what you want. But you know what you're doing according to the Bible? You're cheating yourself. And when the great judge is there and you stand before the great judge, you're not going to convince him that you were right and he was wrong. He's going to say, son, you cheated yourself. Next. So we don't want to do that. We want to be doers of the word. We don't have to know everything, but what we do know, we should endeavor to at least try, right? And God will be blessed for it. And once you try, God will be there helping you along the way, and he'll give you more. So let's pray, Father. Thanks for your word, for your love, for your grace, and thanks that we can have a relationship with you and that we can not only learn about you, Father, but that we can apply it to our life so that the practical application of your word can be living in real in our lives. Thanks for your people, for your love towards them, and that you would touch their hearts, Father, with this truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Anybody want to pray tonight?